This week we hear about the perfect law that God has given to us, that Moses is telling the people that they should keep. Maintain all these laws and statutes that the Lord your God has given you, and you will have life. If we could keep this law of God perfectly, of course he would be right. The challenge that we have is that we do not keep God's perfect law in a perfect way, that we find ourselves disrupting the focus and intention of these laws. And in fact, we'll hear even in our reading from Deuteronomy that we are neither to add nor take away from this law. And we discover that we don't always abide by that rule either. I think one of the challenges we have with the law in general is that we often don't want to think about how it can help us improve the way we would be in the world. We might use it to beat ourselves down and say, well, I'm just no good for nothing, and so I can never do anything right, and so therefore I'm just going to do whatever I want. And that's probably not a helpful approach. That's not going to lead to our betterment through the law. But I think we're also just as likely to apply the law to others first, to say, well, they did a bad job. They messed up. Especially when we find these things directed against us or against those we care about. Look at this unjust action that has occurred. Look at how clearly they have violated the law here. Look at how they have done wrong. And when this happens, we're usually quick to say something about it, quick to be upset about it. And I think that's what James is getting at today. As we hear that we are to be slow to speak, slow to anger. And he follows that up by saying, our anger does not produce God's righteousness. Our bitterness and anger with one another over infractions that have been made against us or infractions made against others is not going to produce the righteousness of God. We would like to think it does. Like to say the world would be right and everything would be perfect if only people would follow our way of thinking, of understanding. In fact, we see, I think, a concrete example of this in our gospel reading today. We see the Pharisees and scribes behaving the exact opposite as to what James is advocating for. These teachers of the law see Jesus' disciples eating with unclean hands, with defiled hands, and they are immediately upset. There is anger and indignation about this, and they are not slow to speak. Oh no, they point this out right away. Jesus, what is going on here? And they seek to shame these disciples in front of Jesus and in front of this crowd. Of course, our gospel writer tells us that this isn't even the law. These aren't traditions that have developed, things that have been added to the law. Of course, we have them ourselves. There are many things that we add that we find to help us practice our faith, or hope we hope help practice keeping the law as we should. But of course, the challenge is when these traditions, when these human precepts, if you will, are treated on the same level as God's own law, as God's doctrine, which is what's happening here. Well, we've done it for so long, we know it just must mean to abide by the law, to follow these traditions. And we're indignant when this doesn't happen. And Jesus first points this problem out. Isaiah was right about you. You're hypocrites. You honor me with your mouth, but your hearts are far from me. You teach human precepts as doctrine. And this is a challenge that Jesus unveils. And then I think Jesus goes on to explain where we've really gone astray. That our greatest problem is not what comes into us, it's not external things entering in, but is internal things coming out. It is a heart problem that we have when we think about keeping the law. And Jesus lists a long list of vices. And he says, are these evil intentions that come from the heart. These are what defile a person. And if we went through that list, we would see showing up there, I think, violations of that second table of the law that God has given us about thou shalt not kill, no adultery, no theft, no bearing false witness, and no coveting. We would see all of these, I think, couched within these things like murder and avarice, this envy and coveting of others' things, this deceitfulness that Jesus mentions. All of these things are what truly defile us. It's our hearts have gone astray. And I think this is something that as we hear and recognize our challenge with the law, that even our own indignation and righteous and often self-righteous anger is not going to produce God's righteousness. We are probably going to hear James's response and think, that's what we should do. We should just be hearers of the word. We should listen to what this word of truth would say. And maybe we should stop doing things. Like, we realize that every time we take action, we're messing something up. We're either violating the law or we are becoming indignant with others around us. And so we should just take a step back. But James doesn't give us that option either. He says, you can't be just hearers of the word, you must be doers of this word. God has given us a call and it invites our participation and our action. We can't just step away and think, well, if I don't do anything, then at least everything is fine. Which, of course, makes a difficult proposal for us. We find that we don't know what we should do, but we know that we should do something. Well, where do we go from here? Well, God first addresses our core issue of not knowing what to do and giving the law in the first place. This is why God shared this gift of the law. God wants people to hear this perfect message that would lead to life, that would transform hearts, that, as James tells us as well, would lead us, if it was practiced properly, to caring for the most vulnerable among us. James's day, this is the widows and the orphans, and would keep us away from evil, would keep us away from practicing the ways of this world that have us depart from the law. And if we would do these things, if we would live in this way perfectly, other nations would recognize that this was a wonderful thing. Indeed, think if you could think of a nation that every single person loved and cared for those around them and kept themselves from doing any of the wicked things that Jesus has described, we would say, wow, that's a place I want to live. What an amazing nation. We should follow whatever they're doing. And that's exactly what God wanted the law to be in the first place. God wanted to share this gift of the law with others, that the people of Israel were to be a blessing to others. And that as they practiced this perfect law, the nations would see it and say, we should do the same thing. Our hearts should be changed. But unfortunately, it seems we had never practiced the law in this way. And instead, the law becomes somewhat of a litmus test to say, well, who's of God and who isn't? Who do we have to care about and who don't we have to care about? And then even inside the people of Israel who had received this law, we would probably say there were gradations of those who had done a better job keeping the law. And so the law suddenly became a measuring stick and a way to assert ourselves. And our interpretation of the law, of course, was what we would want would be vaulted. In a way to be able to gain status and honor, much as we see going on in our gospel reading today, and that it can be used to shame people when even the parts that we've added to it are violated. And we see in this, then, our clear need for Jesus. We need this word of God, this word of truth, to take on flesh and dwell among us. First and foremost, to tell us what the law really is. We need Jesus to redirect us when we have gone astray on our own understandings and our own interpretations of the law, and we've added our tradition and we've taken away the things that we didn't like, and we need Jesus to point this all out to us and say, you know, this is a heart issue. Of course, Jesus doesn't just leave us there and say, well, you guys have messed it up. Christ is then modeling for us what it looks like to abide by this perfect law, to love God and love one another just as God would intend. And what Jesus shows us in this is a love that is willing to suffer and die that we may know life, that sinners may know life. And we recognize that this is very different from our response to people around us who break the law and live in unjust ways. Jesus is surrounded, his entire ministry and life, by humans that are breaking the law. And his response to them, most of the time, is not anger, but is amazing grace and mercy and forgiveness. What this perfect love looks like is a willing to embrace suffering and death that others may know life. And we might realize that this is what we are called to model as well. This is what it looks like to keep the law perfectly. This is what it looks like to love as Jesus loves. But we know that this is beyond us. And I think James highlights this for us as well. We have no hope of living in this way unless we are changed from the inside. Our hearts need something. And James tells us that God, who is this perfect Father of lights, has given us generously a gift of grace, has implanted God's word of truth in our hearts, has named and claimed us as God's own. God is seeking through Christ to transform our hearts, to deal with our heart issue. And we are called to listen to this word of God who has entered into our lives deeply through the power of the Holy Spirit. We are to listen to this God who has poured God's love into our hearts through that same Holy Spirit, transforming us from the inside out, that we cannot just be hearers of this word of life, but doers of it. That we cannot do that, of course, until we recognize what this word has done for us. This is what reshapes our very core, our very being, and propels us out to love in the same way that Christ is loved. It is Christ working within us. It is the Holy Spirit working within us. We are no longer given over to evil, but we are given over to the good that God would bring about. And suddenly we live differently in this world. Not that long list that Jesus has described, but instead our response to the injustice and brokenness of this world is a grace and a mercy that is beyond us. Our actions, our thoughts, our words are seasoned with this grace and this love as we find ourselves transformed by this word of truth. But of course, this is impossible for us to maintain. We do not live this way all the time. It can seem like such a little bit of word that we don't always listen to and certainly don't always obey, which is why we need to experience this word of God in our lives. And that is exactly what we get to do this day, in this meal that we share. Christ enters in this bread and wine, body and blood, to work on us from both sides. That as we taste and see that the Lord is good, we have Christ entering into us from the outside, and this is stirring and transforming us from the inside, as our heart that has this implanted word resonates with this word of God that has entered in through bread and wine into us. And we find ourselves changed and drawn a little more deeply into this life and love of God. And we find ourselves equipped, strengthened, and nourished to go forth to celebrate and share this love with the world, that all the nations may encounter the goodness of God's grace and mercy, that they may be transformed also by encountering this word through that comes through us, that we allow to flow out of us, and find ways that they too can be hearers of this word that translates into doers, that they too can hear what this word has done for them, and know how that calls them into action to participate in what God is doing. And for this work that God has done on our behalf, for this word of God who has drawn near to us, been implanted within us, and transforms us that we may not be given over to evil intentions, but to the very goodness of God, we can only say in response for such a generous gift of grace as this is thanks be to God. Amen.